The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is...
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is...
Paul Perillo.
The show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show. None can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart. Sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain, contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace.
Hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
My name is the show is
PFW in Progress and Eric Scalavino.
Seattle huddling up, down 4, but on the verge of the lead. Wilson with 33 seconds and counting. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's
intercepted
by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the 1. Malcolm Butler stepped in front of the throw.
No way.
And the Patriots have possession with 20 seconds to go.
It's got to be one of the dumbest calls offensively in Super Bowl history. You are on the 1 yard line. And you have number 24, and you drop back pass. Are you kidding me?
Victory formation one last time. Stork snaps it to Brady, who takes the knee. And the New England Patriots are on to a celebration. Thanks to a job well done, a 4th Lombardi trophy is headed to one Patriot place. The Patriots 28, and the Seahawks 24.
All right, welcome to a little hot there.
Coming in hot.
Welcome to PFW in Progress. Unbelievable. We are back from Arizona. And more importantly, the Lombardi Trophy is back with us. It's incredible. What a game. A game for the ages. Who could have predicted the way this one turned out? But I'll tell you, justice was done. The right team won. The good guys won. The haters can just shut up now. Because Lombardi is back at Foxborough Gillette Stadium. I don't know what else to say. it's unbelievable. Incredible game. We all predicted a close game, but to have it end the way it ended, no one predicted that. And that's why you play every down. That's why you don't give any yard, you cannot take anything for granted. And that game showed you right there.
It was a brilliant game. I thought it was a fantastically played game.
You didn't predict Ryan Matthews and Malcolm Butler to be the two key stars?
No.
Chris Matthews,
whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah. I call him Foot Locker.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Hardball.
Foot Locker.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. I saw that. One of his, he almost turned down the tryout
because he didn't want to leave his job.
Eric, what were you saying?
I was just thinking that after 2 weeks of almost exclusively talking about the football itself,
right?
The football game was probably the best one that I've seen in a Super Bowl. It was really well played on both sides. Momentum swings, scoring changes, big plays, unheralded players, like Paul said, big name players making plays.
Yes.
Everybody contributed.
I was just going to say, the guys who were supposed to make plays made plays, and then guys out of nowhere made plays. And, going in, we all thought this was the way it was going to be. It was the two best teams in the NFL going head-to-head, and it lived up to the billing. It really did. I mean, I can only imagine sitting home watching it on TV. It would have been just as good as being there.
And it's exactly what the NFL needed. In the wake of the last 2 weeks.
Right.
They needed a good
product
on the field.
Well, they needed the Patriots
field.
To lose, but that's another
thing. They needed a good game.
But they needed a good
and
game.
They got a good game because there haven't been a lot of them this year. And the football, the quality of football has not been there. I agree 100% with Eric said. That was a really well-played game. Now, the last minute is going to overshadow that, but those were two heavyweights that went toe-to-toe, and they each threw haymakers at each other.
Literally.
And it was a great football game.
Yeah.
It was.
And, you know, listen, I feel for the Seattle Seahawks fans. We've been there. Not exactly there, but we've had crazy –
retribution for 96.
We've had crazy plays happen to us in the biggest games and ended up losing because of it.
And they were in shock. We had to walk down through the concourse from Auxiliary Press, and there were fans out there with literally
and our listeners
staring endlessly into the sky.
Eric and I were sitting in the van waiting for you guys a couple hours after the game, and this guy was screaming at his wife, and she was...
Oh, I felt bad for her.
Oh, and just
storming off in front of
Seattle.
Her.
I saw
unless the wife's name was Pete Carroll, why are you screaming at her?
I saw another guy in the curb just like... hunched over.
Unbelievable. But you know what? It reminded me exactly of the scene at that very stadium in 2007 when Patriots fans were the ones with their heads in their hands walking around with the glazed look like, what the hell just happened? How did we lose an undefeated season?
All week it was, at least 2-1, if not 3-1 Seahawks fans.
Oh, yeah.
They took over the ballpark next to the basketball arena, had 25,000 people at that event on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So
couldn't go anywhere without getting Seahawks.
Right.
Seahawks.
It was amazing.
Hawks.
Yeah.
And when Andy's telling you when we went downstairs, it was amazing to see the looks on people's face. There wasn't a lot of yelling and screaming.
No.
There was just a look of utter shock.
It wasn't like
stunned.
Philadelphia Eagles after that game where they were punching people, non-discriminately. These are just people in shock, like you said.
The comparison to 07 is similar in that it's not quite the same, but 07 was for the perfect season. This was to become a back-to-back champion.
Right.
This was to enter that hierarchy of Super Bowl champions that defended their title.
But not only that, it was there. I mean, you're a yard away from
doing it. No, that's what I mean. But, I don't think it would have been as emotionally – I mean, there would have been a different – if it was just a run-of-the-mill title. This back-to-back means something.
Back-to-back.
And they were – it was there. We were joking before we came on those win probability charts. The Patriots win, it spiked way down to nothing, and then boom, way back up. And, I mean, they should have lost. The geeks would tell you they lost. They should have lost the game. The numbers say you're going to lose this game right now.
But I will say, though, that catch by, Curse, that shouldn't have been caught either. So there was a little fluke to get to that 1 yard line, too. So it goes both ways.
Not as fluky as, like, Tyree.
No.
The guy just caught the ball.
Yeah, that was a Velcro catch. Yeah. But this was pretty crazy, too.
Oh, I mean, crazy.
If Harmon comes over and just cleans up instead of jumping over and being the nice guy,
well, I think he was afraid.
Happens.
I think he thought
he was going to get penalized.
That the ball was incomplete and he wanted to play it safe.
Right.
Matt Chatham was all over that. This catch was directly related to the new rules of modern NFL. You can't hit anybody.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No. There's no. Made me laugh.
that's not what he's like 0 for life.
Oh,
his opinions are 0 for life. I know why that they tell him to shut up all the time.
Who tells him to shut up all the time?
The Patriots. It's amazing, how many times one
Patriots
guy can
tell Matt Chatham to shut up.
Oh yes, the coaching staff has told him to pipe down on more than one occasion.
Oh, wow.
Anyway,
I think tired Paul's going to be a good Paul today.
But
filters off.
Listen,
well, that's just idiotic.
I don't want
to have to do with the rules.
Listen, I don't want to get all sappy, but I said on Twitter, or I said during the Kirsch Words blog, that I had a story that I wanted to tell today. That earlier in the week told me this was in the bag, and I swear to God, I took a screen.
Are we going to do this crap again?
No, listen, I took a screenshot just so that I have it forever. But on Friday evening, I was texting with Moose, the cameraman from CSNNE, and he asked me a question to which I wanted to text back yes, and I was in the car, so I was thumbing it, and Spellcheck changed it to Myra, of all things, and I was like, wow, that's weird. He's like, how did that pop up? I'm like, I have no idea, and he's like, wow, maybe it's a good sign, and I couldn't recreate that if I tried. I don't even know how Spellcheck changed yes to Myra, But there it was.
Because it's a terrible spell check.
Well, there it was and on my phone, and I took a screenshot of it, and I said, you know what? We're going to win. So
we did.
That's my story.
It was a great – I mean, it so rare when something lives up to the billing.
Yeah. Like last year, wow, Denver, best offense, mm-hmm. Seattle, best defense. This is going to be a great game.
It was a flop.
And it was from the get-go. It was just – nothing.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much a lock. If you put the Patriots in the Super Bowl, it's going to come down to the final possession.
And listen, the way this started, the Patriots should have been up 10-0, maybe more.
Yeah.
They both had a chance to end it.
And then by the time the fourth quarter started, like, you know what? Seattle, the momentum's all with Seattle.
And they had that key drop by Kearse on the left side. If he catches that, the game's over.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a Welker-like play that probably ends it. But you're right. I think earlier in the game, the Patriots had the chance.
Oh, definitely.
You know, save for the Brady turnovers, some crappy throws, as he said. You know, both teams had the chance for the knockout at various points and didn't do it.
And I thought their defensive game plan, New England's defensive game plan, was effective in the first quarter and a half at limiting Lynch,
right,
and keeping, for the most part, keeping Russell Wilson in check.
Yep.
The way they wanted to.
Their coverage was phenomenal.
He couldn't complete a pass for
Who knew about Chris Matthews?
Right.
I mean, that was, that was the difference.
Their coverage
was
phenomenal early. Yeah. He was rushing, bopping around, and still couldn't find anybody. Didn't complete a pass until into the second quarter.
And I will say, we'll talk about it, obviously, the call. I don't know how it's going to be remembered forever, but right now people are calling it the call. It was a terrible call, but I'll tell you, Butler made a great play on that.
Phenomenal.
I mean,
he really was
about 2 yards back and just recognized it immediately when he saw that guy slanting in. And had he been one step behind,
touchdown.
Yep.
At least, or incomplete maybe, but definitely not an interception. He had to play that perfectly.
He did.
Great play.
Tremendous.
Great play. And it's funny, guys on the team said it, and we saw it in training camp. This guy made some plays.
Yeah.
He kind of petered out a little bit during the season, kind of got lost in the mix there. But, they said during practices he was still making those plays.
And
one was surprised on the team that he did this.
I think that kind of play is what we saw, a feisty play.
Yeah.
Longer plays, guys, double moves down the field, speed.
Yeah.
I think at times he looked like a guy who was overmatched during the regular season.
Yeah.
But in the feisty line of scrimmage type play.
And he came hard. He depleted the guy.
And Bevel, don't tell me your guy didn't fight for the ball. He was a rocket. He bounced off a guy, and you see him. He's flying through.
Right.
Kind of like your thing. Oh, that really worked when he hit me.
All the receivers I heard Keyshawn and I heard Chris Carter, I think, were talking about how you need to get – I think Chris Carter said something about you get across his face there. You can't sort of – you can't allow that. You can't allow him to get there. And I think that would happen – I think he thought he was wide open. I don't think he had any idea that Butler was coming. And that's why he got de-cleated.
Yeah, because
I don't think he was braced for any contact.
I think
he thought it was a walk in the park.
Yeah, he was shocked. And you could see his eyes as he was falling. He was like looking for the
ref. Like, his whole arm like
– right.
He got de-cleated.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can brace for contact there. I think if you brace for contact there, people say, "Oh, alligator on
held
the
up.
Guy."
Was, right.
Like all he can do is run the route, and he got knocked off by a guy who had momentum because he's coming across this way.
Right.
Butler is coming like a missile right.
But
at
I think
him.
Paul's right. I don't think he had any idea he was coming.
But
he was kind of just showing the play now, and he's looking back at Wilson.
See, I don't think
he's not running hard.
I don't think there's anything he can do about it.
Yeah,
I think it was all a play by Malcolm Butler.
And
that's the play. There's no taking anything away from the play from Malcolm Butler.
There's nothing on the receiver's part that he could have done there.
Yeah.
I think that's on the quarterback and on a great play on the defensive.
People are going to obviously remember the interception, but I thought Butler made a really great play a few plays earlier too when he reached up swatted down a deep pass that could have been a big play too.
Yeah.
That was
a good play on the catch that put him in position too. It just
didn't
work out.
I'll tell you another subtle really good play, and you're probably going to make fun of me, but right after the Patriots made the touchdown to make it 24-21, Seattle, in the first play, did one of those read option fakes where Russell Wilson was killing them all night on with, 25-yard throws. And he had, I think, Lockett, same guy, either that or Baldwin, it was one of the two, crossing the middle, wide open, and Butler was beaten, and he tripped him.
Well, yeah, he grabbed his leg.
And I know you might say, like, oh, so committing a penalty, that's a great play? Yes.
Yes, yeah, sometimes it is.
Yes, because if he didn't, it was an easy completion. It would have been about 25 or 30 yards minimum
if
he doesn't break any tackles. And you never know if they don't call it. They didn't call it.
Right.
So it ends up being a phenomenal play. He got beat on the play but didn't quit on it.
Yep.
And that could have been a whole different tenor to the fourth quarter.
And, I mean, give Seattle credit for, you know, just recognizing the matchups on offense. You know, whether it's Wilson or Bevin, you know, the offensive coordinator, they were targeting, you know, the mismatches, you know, because of the height.
Yeah.
And, you know, these guys who we weren't supposed to be afraid of, these wide receivers, were making plays downfield. And, you know, give them credit. They played to win. Right from the end of the first half when Carroll, you know, instead of taking the three with 6 seconds left, went for – that's a ballsy move.
That was.
In the
Six
Super
seconds
Bowl,
is not a lot of time.
You know, to not take the sure points, basically, and to go for that, that's ballsy.
And by the way, you know – And as long as we're going to, like, criticize all the different things of the plays, what a horrific play by Logan Ryan on that. He was about, about 8 yards deep in the end zone.
Yeah. Very slow to react. But, hey, you know, Brady.
That's why him and Arrington lost playing time. That's why Butler
was playing.
Butler
was in the game.
Oh, that was the plan.
I mean, I love, Brady bounced back. He had the horrible interception in the first half. The second interception, it was a good play by the linebacker. Still, you know, a guy like Brady shouldn't be throwing like that. But, I mean, overall, what a game by him. I think the offensive line played great.
They did. They kept
giving him
for the
time.
Most part.
He had to step up a few times. But, hey, that's what quarterbacks have to
do. They had a little bit of trouble with Michael Bennett.
They sure did. But that's going to happen. Shane Vereen, you know, no huge plays, but he was there when they needed him.
One.
He was a very, very reliable outlet in this game.
I forget which if it was the go-ahead drive or the one before, but there was a play where he comes out of the backfield and runs a dig route, and Brady's pass was a little bit out of reach, and he had to extend with one hand.
Yes, nice one-hander.
Ooh, I'm telling you, that was a great catch.
Not something he's done before.
No.
We've criticized him for not being Kevin Faulk. That was a Kevin Faulk play.
That was.
It's not... You know, this massive, you know, wheel route touchdown, but those plays need to be made, and Shane Vereen has struggled, and that he caught, give him credit, he caught that.
And Amendola early, was there when they needed him.
Well, the underneath pass
throughout. And the touchdown catch.
Edelman was just
a monster. That was the game plan, and that's what we were kind of expecting.
Yep. The dink and dunk was back, baby, and you want a Super Bowl with
it.
You
know, everybody, really enjoyable like you said, Eric, the big guys produced. And everybody had to do something in this game for both teams in order to keep them in it.
Except special teams.
Yeah.
Special teams, which have been such a factor in so many Patriots Super Bowls, other Super Bowls, were pretty much a non-factor for both
Except
teams.
Except for, and this is a minor thing, though. I know what you were going to say. Yeah. I'll let you say
the record.
Though. Yeah.
Well, it's the first Super Bowl that a team has not received a kickoff. All of Gostkowski's kickoffs were touchbacks. First time that's ever happened for a team in the Super Bowl.
So in a way, that's a special teams.
Yeah,
it's noteworthy for New England.
And Ryan Allen set the Super Bowl record for longest punt.
Oh, right, that's
64 yards. And Brady either extended or broke 9 records.
Oh, yeah.
In this game,
he was
the Brady Bowl. We'll just
playoff
Brady. He was impressive.
Playoff Brady. Yeah. Yep.
You had a little of that.
You did. You had a little bit of that, but he bounced back very well.
He's had a little bit of that all this
season.
Yeah, it was a little postseason Brady where I thought he was, because I thought the first three quarters Seattle's pass rush was overwhelming him, and in the fourth quarter I think they wore him out.
Yeah,
I think they kept going with the dink and dunk. They kept spreading him out, and they said, "We know they're coming, but we're just going to keep throwing these little passes to Vereen for 5 yards, and we're going to try to keep them." In the fourth quarter, when they had to have it, the offensive line was dominant.
Yep.
Because they did not get near Brady as much in that. I think was it 14 passes in the fourth quarter? They didn't get near him in the fourth quarter the way they had in the first three.
Yeah, I don't know
he was taking some big shots.
If you guys were listening to the broadcast or not, but I was, you know, with that little radio.
I love that.
Collinsworth said, I mean, they're not getting close to Brady. And he said that in the fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter, the offensive line was dominant.
Yep. So just unbelievable. I know everybody online wants to get involved here, and we want you to as well. Thanks for all the kind words over the weekend. You know, that's why we do it for you guys. So let's get right to it. Let's go first to Justin in Virginia on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I got 2 points.
You know what's going on.
How about them Patriots?
So,
how about Malcolm Butler, Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski ripping victory out of the jaws of defeat, baby?
You Got that right.
Super Bowl champs, bro.
That's right.
Super Bowl champs.
You mad, bro?
Is Richard Sherman mad, bro? Is he mad?
I think his,
y'all see that vine with him?
His little heart's breaking.
Right after Russell Wilson threw that pick. But as for my other point, coming up this draft, people are going to tell you that we need to trade up for Amari Cooper. Let me promise you, he's not the best receiver. He's the second or third best.
We're not talking
draft.
Why
are we talking
draft
here?
We're not talking draft today. I'm making an executive decision. We're not talking draft.
We're gonna go to talking Super Bowl here. We're not talking drafted next year. We want some time to celebrate.
I just traveled the last 28 hours. I didn't do that to talk about the draft.
Right. Orlando's in Springfield. Hey, Orlando.
That's what I want to talk about. That's what I want to hear.
Let me ask you a question, fellas. How does it feel to be a champion today?
Yeah.
Fellas, real quick, man. First of all, man, obviously Brady, Butler, man, coming up huge. But you got to give it to him. You got to give it to Hightower, man. It was out that stop that he made where he had to shed a block and ankle tackle Marshawn Lynch. He would have gotten into the end zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good play.
I'm just so impressed with Hightower, man. The way the defense stuck it out. We didn't give up. We're down 10 in the fourth. Brady said, excuse me while I do my best Joe Montana impression here, and leads us right back to victory, man. I'm in championship mode for the next 6 months, baby.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
By the way, Hightower played with a twin labrum that reportedly going to require surgery.
Yeah,
so.
Tommy John surgery?
Or no. No, that's Sherman.
That's Sherman.
Yeah.
Now, was that, I'm sorry, Orlando.
I'm just going to say congratulations, fellas. We did it, baby.
All right. Thanks, Orlando.
The labrum report, was that from the Green Bay injury, or was that from the new one in the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
I didn't know if that was what.
My guess is it's the original one that he suffered that caused him to miss a game.
Yeah.
And who was it, Edelman that had the big hit on Lane early?
Yes.
Knocked him out of the game.
Well, yeah. Oh. The hit didn't, but
yeah, he broke
the ground did.
Right, but
it was his tackle.
It was a nice
hit.
Great.
Yeah.
It was nice tackle.
It was a big one because he had some space in front of him.
If Edelman didn't make that tackle, it may have been pick six.
And Edelman took a big shot.
Game.
And
he
if he
had
didn't
a
get
game.
Tackled, he wouldn't have broken his arm, so he might have stayed in and they couldn't have gone after the other guy.
Right.
Absolutely abused and couldn't tackle.
Well, that's okay because they abused our guys too.
Early in the game, all the short passes were short. Completion short plays, and you know, as the game progressed, and that 27 guy seemed like he missed.
What was it Thibault Simmons?
Farrell Simon. He kept missing tackles. They kept ducking underneath him.
Right,
mm-hmm.
and they go high.
And he was one of the guys that was most guilty of it. But even as it was, I mean, I thought the thing that was most impressive about Brady was how patient he stayed, because it really wasn't quote unquote working for the better part of the game. I mean, they were throwing all these short completions. He was completing everything, but they weren't really moving the ball enough, consistently enough. They had a couple of drives in the first half. Then they went three and out, like three or four drives in a row. And the reason for that was because they were making tackles.
Right.
He was completing all the passes, but they weren't moving the ball. To be down 10 in the fourth quarter and continue to say, okay, The first down, we got sacked. It's second and 18. The next play is like a little screen pass to LaFell for 4 yards.
By the way, when he was sacked, I may or may not have said to Paul, oh, this game's over.
Well, they were a play away. They were a play away. Seattle's going to really look at that as a lost Super Bowl. I mean, a real blown Super Bowl. Last play notwithstanding, they had so many chances. If Kirst kept the ball that you already talk about, if they come up with a third and 14 stop on that play, so many chances to end the game, and they just couldn't. The Patriots just made the plays, and that's what they all said at the end of the game.
Russell,
I don't like Richard Sherman very much, but he's a much better loser than he is a winner. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing but class out of his mouth at the end of the game. He never acts like that when he wins.
Yeah, that's true.
But after he lost, he sat there and he gave credit to the Patriots, and Butler in particular, for making the play at the end of the game. They made plays to win the game. They deserve to win the game. A lot of Patriots opponents don't say stuff like that.
Yeah. I also quickly, I know you want to get back to the calls, but I thought since he gets a lot of criticism for his play calling selection at times, I thought in the first half, Josh did a very good job mixing up the play calls.
Yeah.
Inserting runs and using different personnel packages.
I thought he had a phenomenal
I thought he called a great game. Now, obviously, when things got tied and then they got down,
you were forced to throw the ball a little bit more than maybe he would have wanted to.
Yeah.
But I thought he did a great job. Yeah.
There were a couple of things that I was pretty critical
well,
of.
Well, I have to admit, during the game, I couldn't help thinking, man, wouldn't it be nice to have a downfield threat? Just somebody to open things up a little bit. I have to admit, I was thinking that a little bit.
Yeah, but that's not Josh.
Yeah, that's not Josh's fault.
It's not Josh at all.
But I absolutely despised the first play of the fourth quarter, third and one. We're going to put our fullback in the game, two tight ends, and line up and say, here we come. We're going to run at you. They never succeed in those kind of situations against good run defenses, and they didn't come close on that one. I went apoplectic to Andy. He looked at me as if to say, since when do you care? And I was like just beside myself. I saw the line. And this is before, and Andy will be my witness. This is as they came out of the huddle and I saw the formation. I said, what are they doing? Yeah. They're going to tell them I'm lining up and running the ball. Here I come. See if you can stop me.
Right.
I was beside myself with anger on that. And I thought there was once it became apparent that they couldn't run the ball at all, because I was all for Andy's thing of, you know, let's try to maintain some semblance of balance. It became painfully obvious they couldn't run the ball against them. And I thought they tried too many runs periodically during the course
Vereen
of the game.
Vereen would be on first down. Then they'd bring Blunt in on second down, you know. So,
But I thought once you got to, like, the middle of the second quarter, late second quarter, it was apparent. They're not going to run the ball. And all of a sudden, you're getting only 3 or 4 yards on those catches, and now you're running for nothing, and you're putting yourself in the third and longs. Andy was talking about it the whole game, another one of those third and longs.
It was the problem.
They were able to convert a good percentage of them.
Yeah.
But that was a testament to Brady's brilliance, because I thought they put themselves in a lot of bad situations.
Yeah, I did think during the game, Fred, and it's weird that you have these thoughts that are so much not about the Super Bowl, but when they do that, it's Vereen in, and then it's Blunt in on second down. Can you imagine this offense with, like, a three-down running back, a Matt Forte or one of those? I always think of that because they've never really had that guy who could be the first-down runner and be the third-down pass catcher.
Charlie Weiss always talked about that.
I wonder what this offense would be if they had any. And I know, you know, Matt Forte's and those guys who can catch 100 passes and rush for 1,000 yards don't grow on trees. But I just – that type of back, to me, would make this offense really intriguing.
Charlie Weiss always talked about the importance of having guys that could do multiple things in terms of positions, but like – a Matt Forte type that you can say it's first down. I can do anything I want here. The defense has no idea
instead
if it's going to be a runner
Vereen
or a pass.
At extreme ends of the spectrum.
The other Dave's in Connecticut. Hey, Dave, you're on the line.
Oh my goodness, it's hard to talk right now. I'm practically shaking, but I'm going to do my best. I have a question to you, beautiful gentlemen, and then a quick story. My question is: do you believe in miracles?
I do.
I do now.
Yes.
Okay. My quick story is,
that's it.
This season, I'm 27 years old. I was born in Boston. I live in Connecticut. This season in particular started very interesting for me. It was my first trip ever to Gillette Stadium. I went during the Patriots training camp, and amongst the hordes of people, oh my goodness, how many Patriots fans were there, and looking at the training camp, I'm not good at math, 200 feet away from, you know, probably Tom Brady, who, oh, man.
Are you going to cry?
What?
Are you going to cry?
I did last night. I hit the floor crying, and I said, thank you, God, for making the world a better place. I got up. I jumped in a snowbank outside. I made a snow angel. And then yesterday with my fiance, because it was a snow day, she didn't have to go to Bridgeport to work as a preschool teacher. I went through the streets with a Patriots flag. And a lot of New York Giants fans around here, and they were like, get a life. And I'm like, you know what? Get a better quarterback. I can't tell
you know? Good day.
But the fact that it started at Gillette Stadium, you know, for me, going through the hall and all this stuff, I just had a good feeling. I watched the Cranberry Bog video that they have in the hall. I cried like a baby then. It's just going to be a memory we have forever. We took a bunch of, you know, pictures and everything, and we are visiting family who's going to move out of Foxborough after spending so many years there. So, I mean, for us personally, it's absolutely like a Hallmark-type moment. But for fans around the world, I'll tell you right now, you know, just feel so happy, thankful, blessed. You see an old person, help them across the road. You know, it's just one of those days. It's just such a beautiful day.
It's true. It's true, Dave.
Everybody doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah, I you know, after the game we were saying, you know, it is a quality of life thing. The food tastes better. The air is cleaner. Your bed's softer. It just makes life a lot better.
Put up with
you had
things.
A bed
better.
Yeah. I haven't seen a bed in days.
One observation I wanted to make too about the post game celebration, and I was reminded of it by something I just saw on television. I thought that for the by and large, even the players who had never won a Super Bowl, in the post game interviews and even at the party afterwards, seemed very. What's the word? Not subdued, but understated. Like there wasn't as much like in the immediate aftermath of the game. You would expect a lot of guys like really like shouting, hooting and hollering, like right. setting off champagne. I thought it was very like a respectful celebration of the win.
I will say Danny Amendola was just breaking down. He was bawling like a little baby.
I didn't see him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, think yeah. about his short him. Time yeah. in New England.
Right.
The bottoming out, the people wanting to get rid of him last
yeah,
off
I
season.
Yeah, I mean, he hears it.
The expectation that it's a foregone conclusion that he just played his last game as a Patriot because he's going to get released this off season. He was such a doghouse disappointment. Well, he made big plays for this team in the postseason. He's a part of.
He did.
He's not along for the ride for that ring.
Absolutely.
This is no Drew Bledsoe. Right. You know, I made one.
Wow.
Well, I thought of it because even Drew said in the one Super Bowl I played in, and he had a picture of the 96 Super Bowl.
Well, he only played in one Super Bowl.
But Amendola was a key figure in this team winning. You know,
he
was less than even this game plan. Edelman was the main one, but Amendola was making plays in those underneath throws. He had whatever, six catches and
yeah.
a touchdown. I mean, he is a full-time contributor in this win, and he hasn't been a full-time contributor for the full 2 years, but when it mattered most, he was part of it.
Let's go to Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian.
Oh, baby. Man, I'm yep. so shaken. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I broke down. I cried like a baby. I'm not going to lie to you. Sunday was my father's birthday, and he passed away in 2009, and he would have been 72 on Sunday. And I watched every Super Bowl with him. I watched most Patriot games with him. And I to actually take this picture to my TV when I watched the
wow.
game.
Wow.
And I just kept saying, come on, you know, give us something. And when they were on the goal line, I just had my head down, and I'm like, man, I can't believe we're going to lose another one like
yeah.
this. I couldn't believe it.
Christian, I don't know if you were on the blog, but when Kearse made that circus catch, I kept typing, not this time, not this time.
Yeah, no, yeah. and not this time. And it was so good just to stick to everybody because the last two that we lost, especially in 07, and just to get this one. And to get the fourth one, and just to say, and everything goes away now. No Super Bowls.
That's right.
All that
right. All of that goes away.
Yeah. Yep. Did you see Bart Hubbick? Yep. Bart Hubbick tweeted out, like, right after the Kearse catch, now warming up in the bullpen, my tweet saying the Patriots still haven't won anything since Spygate or something like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can't say that anymore.
No.
Can't say anything about the balls because I've been told that every official had a freaking air pressure gauge in his pocket. So.
Yep.
All on the up and up.
Yep.
It was all on the up and up, and it was great. And it was I took my girlfriend, I picked her up, and I just shook her uncontrollably. And she was like, we won, but we won. And I'm like, I know we won. Just it was crazy. It was unbelievable. And it just, you know, just and as a fan, just at least from my point of view, I know you guys got a lot of calls. I'm going to wrap it up. Sorry, keep talking. It's just, you know, It's a year long thing. It's free agency. It's the draft. It's training camps. It's Paul and Andy on the preseason broadcast. It's all that
yeah.
stuff. It's roster cuts. And you get to the end and you win. And it's just so satisfying. Everything just runs through your head. The Mankin streak.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Right.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, and I don't know who said it, but I read over the weekend. You know that this before the game that there is no greater divide than between the winner and loser of a Super Bowl.
Well, especially when it goes down
yeah,
like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Like that.
And I was wondering, I was thinking this, like, would it have felt different, not been as satisfying if, you know, they take over the ball at the 20 or wherever and they don't move? You just kind of end the game. You win 28-24, but they don't scare you.
Right.
You know, it's that fine line, what we have argued about all year, that fine line between winning and losing, the competitive juices, that feeling. And I do think it's a better feeling. It was a worse feeling when Kearse caught the ball, but then it's a better feeling in that love and hate,
overcame
pain
it.
And
right.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I actually envisioned the game. That was the way I envisioned the game ending. Just to your point, Andy, not there,
right.
not at the 1 yard line. I said Revis was going to make a pick to end the game, but I was thinking more like Baltimore. Baltimore moved from their own 20 to like. The 30,
yeah. and then a whole run pick,
and then threw a pick,
right,
to end the game.
Not a pick to end the game.
You know, not second and goal, and have a coach who has multiple titles at the college and professional level who I think you can make a strong argument should be fired today. I didn't expect that.
Easy, Trey.
I didn't expect that, but I expected the defense to make a play to stop the game-winning drive.
Yeah, a little behind the scenes, waiting for Bill Belichick in his post-game press conference. Trey Wingo in that room was just going off, fireable offense. Not only should Pete be fired, but that question and that call should come up in his future job interviews and hurt his ability to get future coaching jobs. That's how far Trey Wingo was taking it.
A little emotional reaction.
A little bit.
It is the single worst
play
call.
Seahawks fan?
I think he put a little bit of cash on the Seahawks?
Yeah, he might have. That might be the underlying story. But all that said, it's like 2 days later now. I still can't believe I just saw him throw the ball.
You can't defend it. I mean, I know Pete tried. I thought, you know, whether it was his call or Bevin, the offensive coordinator, I think Pete stood up like a man and
he did.
He did.
You're absolutely right.
Did not make excuses.
Matter of fact, he got persnickety. Yeah. Because there's people out there that believe that it was an overrule,
right?
By Bevin.
Oh, really?
And he has steadfastly shot that down.
Well, there are players who thought it was an effort to get Russell Wilson the MVP and not Marshawn Lynch.
That's the conspiracy theory that he's
unbelievable.
You know, more worthy of the NFL.
Which the flip side of that is, Paul and I have been discussing this a lot. The lack of any attention being paid to Russell Wilson on the play. You know, if this were Tony Romo. If this were
Peyton Manning.
The rip jobs that'd be go choke and, you know, can't win, all that crap.
Right. Because
but
it's
Russell Wilson. He's the great winner. He's the Brady heir kind of guy.
The throw was late. I'm telling you, that ball was supposed to be out before he threw it. And I think he was late with the throw. And I have not heard 1 ounce of criticism on the throw.
Well,
all I've heard
is the call is just so egregious. It just overshadows it.
And believe me, Fred, I'm with you. Yeah. I can't think of a worse – given the time, place, and circumstances, I can't think of a worse coaching decision than that.
All right, Christian. Thanks for calling.
Guys.
All right. Geez, we got so many emails, calls.
Fred's overwhelmed.
Oh, I want to give everyone a chance. Sean in Vancouver is on the line. Hey, Sean.
Hey, wow. Wow. Well, just want to say thank you guys so much for coming back to do the show. Patriot Nation really appreciates it.
Well, thank you for listening.
We definitely wanted to make sure we could do it. We rolled into Foxborough around 10 o'clock.
Ten o'clock this morning.
Yeah,
we showered.
Yeah,
and we're ready to roll.
Nice. Well, Andy, as you said, you know, about feeling that sense of just a euphoria after something goes wrong is so true. I mean, being a lifelong Patriots fan and suffering through all the crap that went through all the years of moving from stadium to stadium, having all the troubles with in Foxborough initially with the stadium and having the Sugar Bear call in 76 and the Lisa Olsen stuff and all that crap. And then in 2001, hearing Geno say, it's good. You can't articulate the real euphoria that brings and winning something you have to really suffer to really appreciate. I mean, it just makes it that much larger.
Yeah. Well, I hear what you say. To me, all that other stuff, you know, that's gone away. Right now, we're in defense mode. Now we're the best, and we're fighting back all the people that hate us.
But and you do. You have that, you know, the Deflategate. The league hates us. The league doesn't want to, you know, Robert and Goodell on the podium, and Robert kind of just taking the trophy and turning and Goodell getting the hell out of there and that awkward nature. But then you think of all the other stuff, just the – oh, well, now all of a sudden you've lost three straight in the Super Bowl. All of a sudden, you know, Brady threw a pick in the red zone. That could have been the difference. You know, he goes from greatest of all time to, you know, not being able to continue the success, and everything changes. It's sort of like we've talked about with Gronk. He could have transformed maybe the previous Super Bowls and everything would be different, and you look at him. Didn't have a huge game, but big plays. He had a touchdown, had that big play for the first down the right side, had a touchdown in every postseason game.
That was that, a tremendous
that fine line Thanks, between winning and losing, the fine line between now Belichick and Brady are the greatest ever. Now you're up there in the conversation with the greatest to ever play the game.
And if he had lost it the way it looked like you were going to, you know, if Lynch plows in from the one and you end up losing, it's not only you lost three straight, you've lost three straight in the same exact way. You had the lead, that your quarterback gave you the lead late, and you couldn't hold it, and there was a really, really fluky play mixed in
you know, like the Tyree catch to the last time in Arizona. I don't put the Manningham one in anywhere near the same category. That was just great execution. But this wasn't great execution. This was luck. Not as lucky as the Tyree catch. I agree with you, Andy, on that. But there was a big element of luck that the ball happens to get deflected and it stays within his circumference as he's falling to the ground so he can catch it. That's a tough break by the Patriots. They actually defended the play pretty well. Butler was pretty good.
And if you remember, I watched the different Super Bowls leading up to this last week, and I kept talking about how you'd see Dexter Reed or you'd see Sean and these guys on the field, and I came in and I said, well, this new-look secondary, at least when I look back on it, I won't be watching some no-name. And, had they scored, I would have been thinking
Butler
about
Malcolm
Butler gave up the catch. Even though it took a circus catch, Malcolm Butler was on the field in that area, catch.
If the slant is a touchdown.
Right.
Let's face it, Butler could have played that just the way he played it. It still could have been a caught for a touchdown. And then you'd be looking at that and say, really, we have Malcolm Butler in the biggest play of the game?
Because, quite honestly, the new look, we have a defense to win games, didn't exactly shut, they didn't hold them at the 20 and make them four and out.
The defense came up with huge plays when they were down 10.
They
came up with 2-3 and outs when they were down 10.
Anointed superstar Jamie Collins gives up a 30-yard pass to Marshawn Lynch.
Did not play well against a bad offense. 400 yards of offense.
Oh no!
Against that team.
But I will say,
not good. But they made
Darrell Revis, aside from the pick play in the end zone, was Darrell Revis. He didn't give up plays.
Individuals played well, but collectively,
it was one of those great target games. They targeted Logan Ryan and Kyle Arrington. Yep. They got a matchup, and they said, "This is our matchup to win. We're not going to do Revis. We're not going to do Browner." And I think
the Patriots did the same thing.
That's how you work in these games. It's matchups. Right. It's weaknesses. Can we find that place?
Yeah. I also wonder too if Chris Matthews doesn't make three amazing catches, how differently the complexion of the game changes.
For a while, I thought that the Patriots were going to hold him to 7 points. I mean, the defense was playing that well.
I thought once Seattle scored, Seattle moved the ball.
Yeah, I thought Seattle got their offense going.
Once Seattle scored their first touchdown, I thought they moved the ball pretty effectively. Early in the game, the secondary, and Andy talked about it off the top, the secondary was amazing. That's what I wrote at the halftime. That was my blog update, was I can't believe the amount of time that Russell Wilson's had to throw the ball, and he can't find. We're watching. We had a perfect
great
view
vantage
of it.
Point, auxiliary
perfect
press.
View
yes.
of it. I mean, they're guys, we're looking and we're like, he's just blanking.
He's got nothing.
They had nowhere to go with the football. And then all of a sudden they had the drive to score, which Chris Matthews made the long catch on, where he beat Arrington. And then from that point on, I thought when Seattle didn't move the ball, it was because Seattle didn't execute from that point on.
Jonah writes in, holy moly, what a game. Let me tell you guys, I would have loved to have still been living in Mass to enjoy this game with all the Patriots fans over there, but living in Washington State made this victory over the Seahawks so much sweeter. I can honestly say Monday morning I was the only one happy at work. All I've heard for the past 2 years is that if the Patriots played that Legion of Doom, Brady and company would get crushed. Well, looks like that didn't turn out very well for them. And when they try telling me that the game was handed to us, I gladly remind them that we scored as many points in the fourth quarter as they have given up in the second half of their last 6 games combined. We are the champs again, and like Minitron said, they can kiss the Lombardi Trophy.
Who is these people he's arguing with? Not to steal your line.
He lives in Seattle.
Seattle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I missed that first.
Now, he's actually arguing, but they're Seahawks fans. They're it's, two biased views.
Oh, yeah.
Butting heads.
No, well, I was just wondering who he's arguing with, because I didn't hear anybody say that stuff about they were going to get killed. I didn't hear that. Very much. Except from Andy thought the Patriots were going to kill
us. Let's go to Taylor in Brazil. Hey, Taylor.
Make me say it, because I'll say it.
Andy thought Kostowski was going to kick a game-winning field goal.
Good. How you doing?
No, that was him.
You put that together any way you want.
I'm doing amazing, guys. I just want to say that I'm following the Patriots for the last 5 years. I'm just 20 now, and in Brazil, NFL is not that popular. So I just want to say that for the last losses that we had, it hurts so bad in me. So I don't like soccer, even though I'm Brazilian. So I never had a team sport to go for, to root for. And this victory just made my life so sweet. I think you can note by my voice, I screamed like crazy. We are at a bar, and there was tons of Seahawks fans, and just me, my friend Link, and another one called Silas, We are the only Patriots in this bar, and when that interception came, we screamed so hard. When we look around, there are no more Seahawks fans around us. Was just awesome. I hear the show every week. You guys are awesome. This team is awesome. Boston is awesome, and we are Super Bowl champions.
All right, Taylor. Taylor from Brazil. Love it. Love it. Enjoying it down there amongst Seattle fans and just sticking it to them. Jeremy writes in, during the euphoria of Sunday night, the only thing that brought me down a little bit was that there was no Xbox One post-game show.
Yeah.
And knowing that, I would have to wait Tuesday for PFW in Progress. Seriously, you guys have taken my enjoyment of this season to a whole other level. As entertaining as you all are, the analysis on the show is hands down the best out there. As the game unfolded, it's amazing how many relevant storylines had been discussed throughout the year, even this past summer. Here's a small sample. One, the physical play of Brandon Browner. He was key in that final defensive play. His physicality with his man at line busted up the pick play.
He was.
The skills of Malcolm Butler. While Malcolm Butler was an unknown name to the national media and most viewers, PFW listeners were well aware of him thanks to Paul. This summer, Paul stated multiple times that he liked his skills and he was a great story out of camp. He wasn't just in the right place at the right time. The reason he made the play was the same reason he made the roster. He's good and he's smart. Three, the Patriots go as their big three go. The major theme since training camp was how the Patriots would ride Brady, Gronk, and Revis. And if those three stayed healthy and played to their ability, the Patriots would be okay. This seems obvious, but cannot be overstated what those three meant to this team. And four, the offensive line as the fatal flaw. This is a point Andy has been emphasizing, and we saw it firsthand during the game. The Patriots seemed to be in control early, but when the Patriots found themselves down by 10 in the fourth quarter, Brady was getting pressured, and for a little bit, it seemed as though the failure to protect him was going to be what sealed their fate. It was a great adjustment to clear the middle that allowed Brady to have the time he needed. There are many other examples that I could get into, but this email is getting long. Are you guys the best football show in the world? Who knows? Good, Jeremy. Good.
And there were a lot of those things during the game. You know, we talked about Chandler Jones getting sucked inside. It happened.
Yep.
They took advantage. We talked about just the athleticism of Russell Wilson. He made Rob Ninkovich look silly a couple different times. And then the flip side of that, Chandler Jones had a legit sack, no coverage sack, where he just beat the edge, made an athletic play as a, you know, Jason Taylor type sack, and they went back and forth.
And Ninkovich had a big one.
He had a big one too
on one of those three.
What could you possibly?
You said Ninkovich has a big one.
Had a big
what
one.
What happened? That's unfortunate for him.
Went well, during one of those three and outs that they had to have. That was a big play.
Let's see. Seth writes in, I will probably send in a lengthy email some other time, but just two things. The last play, I know a lot of people, especially Seahawk fans, wanted the ball given to Lynch, but since the Patriots were in their goal line defense, why not just run Wilson to the edge? I doubt Ninko can contain him one-on-one.
You run it any way you want.
Right.
I'm not picky.
And secondly, since you were delayed in Arizona, I hope none of you pulled a Warren Sapp. I'm looking at you, Andy.
No, but I will say, we were with the cheerleaders the entire time. They were at our hotel. We were all hanging out. And at one point, a cheerleader goes, I just don't know what to do with myself. And I was thinking, I got a couple things you could do, honey.
By the way, they did.
I mean, they were just in various forms of dress and undress and their sports bras and everything. And it's like, this is the open to a penthouse forum.
This will open me to a mountain of ridicule, but I don't care. I just realized that we were supposed to order lunch from Omega. I ordered it from Grande. So sorry.
It's fine
I
with
hate
me.
Their pizza.
But Fred's going to be mad.
I know. I just literally realized
I ordered
that
the pizza
the
specifically because I thought it was the Omega one.
Right.
I like the
and I would have got a chicken parm calzone had I known we were going there.
Sorry.
Wow.
You and hairy idiot.
Well, the upside is we should be getting cookies.
Yeah, I got cookies.
Okay.
Cookies have been a disappointment.
Nick writes in that game went from puking because of another fluke catch to puking from a victorious hangover. You should see all the sorry-looking Hawks fans out west today. I named my second son Brady because he's the best quarterback ever, and people kept saying, no, he's not. Now all I do is put up four fingers and say, yeah, he is.
You should only put up one.
Four.
One.
From the shaky start to the season to the great time in San Diego, now to Super Bowl number four, sniff, sniff, sniff. Thanks for the unbelievable year. You guys are the best. And I'll send a picture of the Patriots tattoo I'll be putting beside my 2011 Bruins Cup Champs tat.
See Katy Perry get a tattoo of the
XLIX.
XLIX. She wanted to remember it.
Where'd she get it?
On her
finger.
Here.
We'll save that for a different show.
Wait a minute. No, save it for a different show. This is a celebratory Super Bowl show. Right? This is not the time, Fred.
It's true.
We should save that for the halftime show.
Not on this show.
Maybe Thursday.
Yes. Yeah. Later in the week, we can turn the page.
By the way, we are going to do three shows this week.
Yep.
Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Our last full week, in-season week.
What, are you looking for something to do?
just to tie into Christian's call earlier, thinking about his dad, Bill Belichick was doing the same thing. He ended his opening remarks at his post-game press conference talking about how he thought back to the last time they won the Super Bowl. He was with his dad, that famous shot that even we used as a 3D photo of the water hitting he and his father, and that he was thinking about him and his mother and his son on the sideline. So there's a whole sort of generational thing. He made me laugh. Did you see he brought the trophy out to the post-game press conference? And you know how the dais or whatever slanted, and he put, oh, I hope that doesn't, So Bearsh had to put it down on the floor next to him. And then when he was done, he just walked out in the trophy, and Bearsh had to collect the trophy. And I just, wouldn't that be like the
first thing you'd want to take with
all
you?
Night long, I'd be, that would be with me.
Rick in Louisville, one play does not define or determine a football game. If the Seahawks defense backed up all the crap they talk, we wouldn't be discussing
one play decided that game. Malcolm Butler decided that game. He doesn't make that play, you lose.
Well, on the flip side of that, you could say if Kearse makes the play, you win.
Well, there's a million plays beforehand.
Right.
But it came down to one play. And if Malcolm Butler does not make what I think is one of the best defensive plays I've ever seen.
That's what I like
about circumstances.
There was
nothing fluky about it.
That was a great. If he weren't Malcolm Butler, if he were
Darrell Revis.
Darrell, you know, you'd be just, that would be more of the talk than the call, I think, because of the great, but because he's Malcolm Butler out of West Alabama.
Well, that's the thing,
too.
Well,
I think the call would still be, because now
it
would be like, so now
it
would be like, instead of handing the ball to Marshawn Lynch, you're throwing the ball at Darrell Revis?
I don't think there's been enough just playing unanimous talk. Just physically take everything out of that. Even if you move that play to midfield, let's say, and it's not the Super Bowl, and it's not the, you know what I mean? It's a great physical play.
Well, a physical and mental play.
Yeah.
Because he talked about how he recognized in the situation when they run the stack, they're going to do a pick play.
And it's why I brought up the Logan Ryan thing from the end of the half, how deep Logan Ryan was in the end zone. He also said, to Eric's point, I'm not giving anything up. They needed a yard. There's no sense in me giving ground.
Yeah. Right.
I'm paraphrasing, but that's the way he talked about it after the game.
Right.
Yeah.
But he gave it up to Josh Boyce in practice, he said.
Yeah.
Boyce caught it and they got it.
So, but practice, he learned from his mistake and he recognized. I mean,
don't
in the situation, a guy who's undrafted making the team in the first place and then having the presence of mind, I mean, you got to give some credit to the coaching staff for pointing that out to him and showing him that kind of thing. And his recognition of it in the moment, in the heat of the moment, and then making the athletic play.
And it's in his
phenomenal.
Ballpark in terms of the physical style. And there's one thing he doesn't lack is confidence.
Confidence, right.
I love he was making the rounds on all the major talk shows. And we needed a play, so I made a play. Big props to me and the defense. Like, he kept saying stuff like that made me laugh. And I don't think he's taken that jacket off yet. Every time I see him, he's got that media
I like day. Those jackets.
They are nice, but he could wear something different.
John writes in, not looking forward to this being the end of a great season, but what a finish. Yesterday, Dan Patrick was extolling Bob Costas' interview with Tom. He said that Bob deserved an Emmy for the interview. But from my perspective, it was a lousy interview, nothing hard-hitting about it. All Bob did was ask Tom the same questions he's been asked over and over and over for the last 2 weeks. Why should Tom have answered him any differently or at all? If a person has never been falsely accused of lying, you might think Bob did a great job. But there is a point when you say, I've already answered. You're not my judge. You're not my jury. Go read what I've already said. I believe the facts will bear out, and there's nothing deliberately done by any of the Patriots. So, I didn't see the Bob Costas interview.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
When was it?
I'm sure because you know Bob asked
was
questions.
It halftime?
You know,
was it the halftime interview?
The questions
aren't really asked until halftime.
What am I saying?
Right.
You know.
So this is like a canned interview that was done beforehand. I assume.
I think so.
It wasn't the post-game injury.
I think we got an email about
probably
about
during the week
from NBC.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Matt's in Charlotte on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Good for Matt.
Hey, Matt.
And good for Charlotte.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Great.
Okay, good.
Oh, man, I'm so happy to be calling in these guys. After that Malcolm Butler interception, I lost my mind. I really don't remember my reaction. But when I came back, too, I was like, I cannot wait to listen to these guys on Tuesday. After this season, I just wanted to say, you know, you guys, the highs and lows, you were there with us the whole time. You're an awesome show. I love listening in. This is the first time I've ever been able to call in. So thank you for everything you do, and we'll see. We'll listen to y'all, you know, for the rest of the time.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. Thanks, Matt.
Yep. And, you know, for those who this is their first year listening, we do this all year. Once the season's over, which basically is today, this week, we go Tuesday and Thursday every week. Damn. So
some people believe those are some of our best shows when we talk draft and vacuum cleaners.
Yes.
I wonder what percentage of people listening right now or who listen when this podcast would not have been listening had Marshawn Lynch just pounded a touchdown.
Oh.
Listen, I think it'd be
I wouldn't even want to do the show.
50%?
Yeah.
I mean, 40%
well,
would be listening,
well,
30%?
Remember in 07, and I'm not equating this to 07, but because that was monumentally bad, but people said they just turned their radio off and basically took a sabbatical for months.
Months. And this one would have been monumentally bad in the fact that it was the third straight. In a different way. You're not perfect season and all that crap, but now it's three straight, and as Paul says, the same way, we got to get these stupid catches. And I just wonder right now if everybody would be in mourning.
But I also think the defense not being able to close it out.
Right.
Like, you did all of this work, and I'm all, you know, they did. They spent big money to fix that defense, and it worked. They went all in, and it worked. And then to have the defense not be able to close it out again would have been really disappointing.
And in different ways. I mean, they could not. They were not good at. They weren't horrific against the run, but they weren't nearly good enough against the run. Marshawn Lynch got what he wanted to get, basically.
Yeah.
They started to wear down. They were grabbing ankles. Remember, I put, you know, there was one play late. Chandler Jones tried to grab an ankle, and he just runs right through it and gets another 6 yards. So the front wasn't good, and they were making the big plays they needed in the back end against Russell Wilson. I mean, that's not exactly the greatest show on turf in terms of a passing attack. But you allowed them to do what they do, as I've said, you know, run, big play, and they just kept hitting it.
Jan writes in, guys, who won the MVP? I haven't heard you mention that.
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Is that sarcasm?
It's not for any particular reason.
I hadn't seen this, but I'm watching ESPN
on Darius Butler
shoulder.
Thing?
Did you guys know that?
I just saw it today.
I guess a lot of Patriots fans
thought it was
Darius Butler.
So they were tweeting
and
him.
And they're tweeting that Brady shouldn't have been the MVP. It should have been Darius Butler. You know, at Darius Butler.
Yeah.
And he's playing along.
Ah.
Word that. He answered to one of them.
That's funny.
He wouldn't have caught that. He's not physical. That's not his type
of
play.
No.
Well, I know,
we would have lost if Darius Butler was the corner
LeGarrette Blount did an interview after the game with a TV or radio station on the field. And for the whole interview, they called him Brandon Browner, and he just went with it. He just never corrected him.
We've been there and almost done that.
Hey, there's the halftime show.
Oh, but at least we couldn't see him.
Right. And at least it was a Brandon, not a LeGarrette.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Dancing Sharks.
First and foremost, greatest team win in Patriots and Super Bowl history. No longer do we have to hear about Spygate or the prior Super Bowl losses. Brady was amazing and should now be considered the greatest of all time.
Yep.
Yes, Montana was undefeated at Super Bowls, but the story for Brady is greater. First, he achieves greatness early, then feels the plummet to the bottom after losing two Super Bowls to the same team. But like a real champion, he claws his way back to the top to reign once again as the best in the NFL, the best in the world. Stand up, Patriots Nation. We are the best once again. And hey, Mom, we made it. Top of the world.
Word.
Mom, just a shout-out to his mom, I guess.
Bill Belichick gave a shout-out to his mom. Hi,
yes,
Mom.
He did.
Kerry's in Connecticut. Hey, Kerry.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good. Great.
Fantastic game. Really impressed by the finish. But, you know, when the running back got tackled there right at the end of the game on the one-yard line,
yep.
Did you guys really think, I mean, at that point in time, I was almost to the point where, well, the Patriots won this because on the scoring from the one-yard line against the New England Patriots is no easy feat.
Everybody that's tried to do it this year has succeeded.
Yeah.
It
was
five of six.
Five of six from the one-yard
runs have been touchdowns against the Patriots.
To go away from your point a little bit, I was stunned that Bill Belichick didn't call a timeout. There was 1:06 left when the play to Lynch started. So there's about a minute left when you tackle him on the one-yard line. I need to conserve as much time as I can here to try to, because even if they give up a touchdown, I only need a field goal.
Right.
So if I have 30 seconds, that's time. I mean, if the Seahawks right. went 80 yards in 30 seconds.
I was like Tom Brady. I said, oh, apparently we're just planning on stopping them.
Yeah, and I
also Tom said
thought,
the same thing. He realized once they didn't call a timeout,
yeah.
we got to stop them. This is it.
Right.
Well, and that's what it was.
In the press box, I said, goal line stand of the millennium.
Well, and you know what? Yeah. It's obviously, looking back, it's a blessing in disguise because let's just say for argument's sake, the Patriots do call a timeout, and Carroll gets talked out of throwing the ball. Maybe he says, you know what? Yeah, you're right. You're right. You guys are right. Let's
keep
just run
simple,
the ball.
Stupid.
Let's keep it run
the
ball.
I know that's the narrative, that they pressured him into throwing the ball. I don't buy that at all. I think this is all on Pete Carroll.
I don't know if they pressured him into it.
That's what people are saying.
No,
that's
I know.
Why he didn't call a timeout on purpose to try to bait him into throwing the ball.
Oh, yeah.
That has been written in the last day, and I don't think it's even close to being accurate. I think you can try to stop him. I was not for letting them score. I know some people said,
yeah, I don't like that.
Should they let him score?
I don't like that.
I don't think there was enough time left in the game to let him score.
No. Yeah.
I think your
2 minutes
chance,
left.
I think your only real chance to win the game is stopping them. You know, yeah, like Eric says, like the last time there was over a minute left when the Giants had that. You let them score.
I'm kind of curious. What kind of fine do you think that player that started the fistfight at the end of the game is going to get?
Bruce Irvin.
Did anybody find Gronkowski's comments on Jimmy Kimmel a little
interesting?
I thought
that was interesting.
Yeah. I did.
He said, screw that.
It was the last game. I was throwing as many haymakers as I could.
Right.
I heard that.
But, yeah, there will be fines.
And what's the deal with the pro shop? I went on the Patriot Pro Shop, and a lot of the gear was sold out. And this was yesterday morning, I think.
Wow. Well, high demand.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's the deal?
Do you guys have any concept of when you think the rings are going to come out?
The rings? That'll be the summer.
Yeah, they don't get those until June.
And so we usually get a viewing of them a couple months ahead of time, so maybe May we might have an idea of the visual or the design concept. But, yeah. You got a ways to go for those.
That's going
to
be a big ring.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks. Gary. Giovanni is in Chandler, Arizona.
Oh, hey, we met him.
Yeah. Have you been to Marley's? The service is terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
He came in the press box and said hello to us.
Oh, that's right. He worked the press box.
He works the stats crew for the Cardinals.
He made fun of my head.
Here's his email. It was a pleasure meeting all of you in the press box at the game. It's kind of weird hearing your voices in person after I've heard it on the radio so long. It sucks Paul and Andy had to be all the way up in the aux press box, but after a game like that, I'm sure you didn't mind. I said to each of you before the game that I hope Arizona treated you all better than it did in 08. I'm sure there are no doubts about that. Seahawks radio booth is right next to the stats booth in the press box, and next to them is the Patriots radio booth. As soon as Butler made that play, our spotter yelled, "Interception!" And I wanted so badly to cheer but couldn't. I looked to my left and saw Warren Moon and the Seahawks radio guys with the hands on their heads and mouths hanging wide open. I looked then to the Patriots booth, and Scott Zolak literally jumped up in the air and began to beat the glass if at a hockey game. He looked our way, and I gave him a thumbs up. It was truly an unreal experience. Glad I got to be there and share it with you guys and all of Patriots Nation. No one can ever take this away.
Quick shout out to the greater Phoenix area. They did a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everything except the weather was perfect.
Yeah.
They don't control it now. In a stretch
of incredibly nice and cordial volunteer types, security people, I'll paraphrase Bill Belichick. No one was any nicer than the staff in Arizona. Indianapolis was phenomenal.
Yeah.
No one was any nicer than the people we just
experienced. And with heightened security, you would think that really heightened security measures at this Super Bowl, I thought. And they were nice about it. You know,
so
a lot of times
helpful.
You can be a little abrasive.
Andy
in those
and I had to go and do a pregame radio. We had a guy, you know.
Ah, come on, just follow
he
us.
He actually took us there.
Very you nice. Know, they deserve to be in the regular rotation. They are a good host.
Well, we said
Super
that the last
city.
Time around.
Yeah.
They did a real good
and
job.
And I thought they were even better this time. They have a great downtown.
And they deserve
very
to have
efficient.
For it. Yeah. They deserve the weather to be better for them.
Yeah, that's
in
the
that
only
situation.
Thing that was
because both times it's been bad weather the whole week.
Let's go to Dave in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. First, I just want to start by saying a big shout-out and thank you to you guys. You know, all season long, you guys just make it so fun and be able to chirp in and, you know, and then listen to you guys talk and give your advice on players and situations and games. You know, and you make it so much enjoyable.
Thank you.
Aspect. You guys do such a great job.
Thanks. So, is that like the Xbox One post-game show when Paul and I were going after the Chiefs game? This game's losable. That game's losable. That eight of the next nine is losable.
Guys. You know, I mean, we keep it real. You really do.
That's
you
right.
You know what I mean? I'm a homer, okay? I had three heart attacks in that game, and I had the same look on my face that Brady had when that catch came down. I was like, not again.
Yep.
Who's this game? David Tyree? Please, not again. You know, and then, you know, the interception, I mean, I woke up my whole condo association just screaming. You know?
Kind of like Brady. Kind of like Brady, jumping up and down like a little boy.
And I thought Brady was refreshing, by the way.
And just saying, for admitting unbelievable. It. You know, I mean.
All right, Dave.
Hey, guys, I got something for you. You know, it's a little jump, but, you know, I'm moving past the Super Bowl. What do you say? One for the thumb?
I like it.
Out there.
Absolutely. And if you keep Revis, there is no reason you shouldn't be expected to return to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's exactly what I answered. Somebody asked me about the possibilities to repeat, and I said, let me know if they re-sign Revis.
Yep. Jack at Bard College. What is Bard College, Eric? You know Bard College?
Is that in Ohio?
I don't know. Shakespeare?
Yes.
I've been so elated the past few days and have been patiently waiting for your show more than I'm willing to admit. I watched the game with my fellow obnoxious and rowdy Pats fans at a quiet, tiny bar in upstate New York filled with Giants fans and Seahawk bandwagoners. It was a cathartic experience having everyone in a room despise you but unable to say anything about it. I just had one silly question for all of you guys. Who do you think we'll do the interviews for America's Game. Who do you want? Take care, boys. We all earned it for sticking by this team. World champs.
Well, I'd like to have Brady. I mean Brady's the obvious
the three
choice.
Players,
the three stars.
The three stars.
But then maybe I could see a Hightower doing it.
Brandon Browner.
Gronk.
I'd like to have Gronk, Revis, and Brady do it.
That would be ideal.
Beyond that,
Hightower. I would
like to
see Brandon Browner do it because I think he has a great personality for that stuff.
Yeah.
I could see Hightower being one of them.
Yeah. And later.
Hightower definitely could be.
Later this week, we'll talk about the post game parties, but some interesting stuff there as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and the SI cover is out. It's On to Immortality.
On to Immortality.
It's a picture of Brady throwing.
Ours will be better.
Edelman.
Yep. Louis writes in, Fred, first time writing in, I just wanted to tell a quick story. In the first half, I was eating popcorn, but they ended right after our second touchdown. Then things started to go south. The Hawks tied the game, and in the second half, they took the lead. After Blunt was stopped on third down, I decided I had enough, so I went to the kitchen and made some more popcorn. I came back to the living room, and what happens? The big third down conversion by Edelman. For the rest of the quarter, I had the common sense of spacing my munching. So I wouldn't eat all the popcorn before the end of the game. So, yeah, you can say I won the Super Bowl for the Patriots. Congratulations on a great year. Much love from Portugal. There you go. Portugal popcorn.
Obrigado, I think is what they say, right?
About popcorn?
No, in Portuguese.
What do they say that
for? Is that thank you?
Oh. I don't know. All right. Let's take a quick break, Kevin. We've got a little food in us. We've been up for over 24 hours trying to get a little fuel in us. Come back for a big, strong hour. More calls and emails right after this.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Second down snap to Brady, drops back. He lobs it to the right side for Gronkowski. Has a step, has a touchdown! Patriots! New England is back in the lead.
And the spike as he goes to the sideline with 31 ticks left. And he said, set me up, boys. Get the protein bars out because the Patriots are back on top. What a throw by Brady. 22 yards as you get bump and run coverage. What are you kidding me, Pete Carroll? A linebacker, bump and run on a 6'6" tight end? All day long, baby. We'll take it. Rack him up.
All right. Scott Zolak and Bob Sosi on the call. I mean, Zolak just completely lost his voice by the end of the game.
Looks like he lost it at halftime.
Yeah. Just an update out of Phoenix. He did admit that a little bit of sleep is okay for winners.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, one day he walked in, he was like, yeah,
I'm
dead. I'm
dead.
I go, well, sleep is for losers. He goes, a little sleep's okay for winners. He was dragging ass. A second update, 8 o'clock tonight, NFL Network, re-air of the Super Bowl.
Nice.
So if you want to relive it.
And, of course, parade tomorrow,
8
p.m.
NFL Network?
Yes.
We'll have
or
a parade
DVR
tomorrow. If you're local, I believe WBZ Channel 4 will cover it. And we'll have it on Patriots.com, too, live. So what that's going to start at 11 Eastern. So there's going to be some overlap with our show. So what you do is you get the parade up on your computer and listen to us over your phone.
Right. Now, will we have some specials out of that coming from Kraft Sports Productions? Will maybe they give a player a camera? Will there be GoPros, some of that fun stuff?
Yep.
I like those things. I think we're efforting to have our lifestyle reporter, Brianna.
Brianna will be on one of the duck boats. Murray in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Guys, I'm still in shock. I still can't believe we finally won the fourth one. After years of disappointment, after getting two Super Bowls ripped from our hearts, we're finally back where we belong. I, like all of us, I'm sure was so depressed on that last drive. I tweeted after the curse catch that there it is, the Tyree dagger again, and I'm so glad I was wrong. Somebody had the great cover. If, you know, they had won, cursed again, mm-hmm. and, you know, yeah. spell it like his. The thing that's driving me the most nuts is how no one is giving us credit for winning because they say the better team didn't win. People need to remember teams aren't just made up of players. They're made up
of coaches,
player
too.
Workers like you guys, ball boys, logistical workers, and coaches. Bill is always talking about how we got out-coached when we lose. Well, in the Super Bowl, our coaches out-coached theirs. And because we have the greatest coach ever, we're world champions.
A woman asked Bill in the post-game press conference, would you have thrown the ball? And Bill said, we're on defense. and she goes, I understand you're on we're on defense. And she goes, but you can't wrap your head around a hypothetical. Two different football teams. We're on defense.
I think.
But when he
defense.
Just said we're on defense
for the Patriots, the answer might have been yes.
Because they don't have Marshawn Lynch.
Right.
As Paul said, they're not going to line up and run it in necessarily.
Right.
But I just thought we're on defense.
Just to explain the game.
A lot of people emailing.
We're not allowed to throw it. We're not allowed to take the ball.
A lot of people emailing in, not to take anything away from Brady, but they thought Edelman should have been the MVP.
You could make a strong argument.
He was my pregame prediction.
Edelman had a terrific game.
He did. And
I think Brady was the MVP, but I think Edelman
and made plays after he took that tremendous shot around midfield.
Yeah.
When he got up running with the ball, it was wobbly. I mean, he wasn't diagnosed with anything, but he sure looked like he had.
How'd you get diagnosed when he never went to the locker room?
And there were reports. I don't know how much of this. I don't know if you followed it on Twitter, Fred, that there were some medical-type people in this. You know how Sports Illustrated, ESPN has medical whatever advisors?
Yeah.
That there is the ability for an observer up in the press box to call down and ask for a concussion check in a situation like that, if it doesn't happen immediately on the field or whatever. And they said that that was going to happen after the drive. So I'm assuming at some point he passed some the quicker
version. he was checked on the sideline,
right,
is what they said.
But
I find it awfully hard to believe that a guy who has concussion problems in the recent past did not get concussed at that point.
And there were reports that he was calling it the St. Louis defense after the
yes
game.
Scott's in Albany, New York. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you doing? I'm over in giant territory here, in jet territory, so it's not the most friendliest area. Although you get outside of six New England states, you don't get a lot of Patriots fans for some reason. But really happy for it. I've got a 11-year-old, 12-year-old son that after the last Giants win, didn't want to go to school. So upset. But this year, man, he's happy as could be to go to school the next day.
Absolutely. All right, is that it, Scott?
No, I had a couple questions. Did they determine if Richard Sherman was doing the 2-4 for the time for the score or for the actual Revis?
I thought when I saw it, I thought it was he was pointing to the scoreboard, but it didn't even occur to me about Revis at the time.
Yeah, I got to think it was Revis.
They were saying on TV that it was Revis.
I would think so too.
I don't know.
But
if
I don't
we
know
confirmed
if
it, Scott. I agree with you. I don't think we got a confirmation on
somebody
that.
Had to have asked him in the post game. I don't know. I didn't see the answer, but somebody.
Okay.
Would
think. All right. Thank you. Then
check the transcript.
Was it more Seattle fans in the crowd there?
Oh God, yeah. Ridiculous.
By a healthy margin.
At least 2-1, maybe 3-1.
Oh, I was more than 2-1.
It was
more than that. A visual. I did a check at one point early in one section, and I had 10-1.
Really?
Where I was counting, I was just going by jerseys, anyone who had a jersey on or an obvious shirt, and it was 10-1.
Now, Patriots fans made some noise whenever they made plays, but it was they were drowned out.
And that was as loud a Super Bowl as I can remember consistently. I thought there was noise. You know how Bill always talks about the Super Bowl? You never know when the noise is going to come. It can come high, can blah, blah, blah. I thought there was pretty good consistent noise throughout that game.
And at one point, the Brady chant did start up. That was nice.
And then it got drowned out by the Seahawks. And then they screwed up at one time, and they were doing Seahawks. Like it was, they were all their timing was out of whack. But they were impressive. I have to give them credit for the noise. The Seahawks. We went to the Suns game.
I'll tell
in
you
the
what,
arena it broke out. I mean,
one thing that we found out is they don't just make a lot of noise because of the engineering in the stadium.
Right.
And I understand it was an indoor stadium they were in. But those guys are loud.
Yeah.
They cheer a lot.
Girls, too.
They make a lot of noise.
It's all that caffeine.
And Eric is right. The Patriots fans made a lot of noise.
Yeah, right?
When my tongue accidentally touched the microphone. You don't know where this
the
has
windscreen.
Been and who's been. Oh.
God only knows how many times you farted on it.
I don't fart on the microphone. I fart on the chair.
Well, my headphones would tell me something different, and the listeners agree. At the 1 hour, 27-minute mark last year.
Somebody did tweet that.
Jeff is in Vegas. Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
How'd you enjoy your stay in Phoenix?
Doing a lot of swimming, guys, and I'm glad I was able to actually get into the building at the end to celebrate the win.
Did you get any more fights?
No, one security guy was sort of looking at me, but I actually walked backwards through four security checkpoints to get down right, in front of the NFL Network booth. And unlike those Seattle schlubs that pay $10,000 per ticket to get in, I put it all on New England and then backed my way on to get the confetti and say hi to Tom and see Rivas hoist the Lombardi with, and by the way, a lot of fun. We were, I don't know if you guys heard any of the chants. Marshall Falk was right there, and everyone right behind were going, Marshall, Marshall. I mean, really ragging on him hard. It was great.
Wait, so you snuck in?
Yeah, that's what he was tweeting us, remember?
Yeah, once the game ended, all the Seattle fans were filing out. There was a huge jam, of course, in silence. I just sort of happy-go-lucky, Jeff in Vegas, sort of going in backwards. And the usher, it's like the Red Sox when they won that first World Series in St. Louis. They don't care.
Heavens to Betsy!
Wait, you actually walked backwards?
I did. I heard someone told me to do that, or someone's like, oh.
Because you look like you're going out. Yeah, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Someone said, oh, my grandfather's gotten into like 3 Super Bowls by walking backwards at the end. So that's what I did.
I love that guy that gets into all the Super Bowls.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
they don't publicize him anymore.
No, but he gets right into the locker room.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. No, no. So I got the confetti. I got that. And yeah, huge savings. I let it all ride on New England. Guys, we settled the great debate about Brady and Manning. How about the PFW great debate? I think this one sort of takes some of the sting away from 2007. And who knows, maybe if they go 19-0, Brady's like, oh, I've done all I can. And he's some sort of – it was just happened to be really sweet in getting this fourth one, sort of bookending it.
Yep. Yeah, no question. It's fun to every year go to these and be in them and win it. And I also thought it was very good for Patriots fans when Brady was asked a legacy-type question and say, I have a long ways to go. Wow. Like, he is – you know, I think some people think it could end at any time. He says that, but if he wins the right one, it does not appear that there is any end in sight for him. And that's good news because he's still good.
Speaking of swimming, our own Chris Ferreira went to the casino near our hotel and $1,100 in the slots.
Yeah, how about it?
Sure, he's
after
just announced that on the
disobeyed radio. You. Direct order, Chris, don't go to
Chris,
the casino.
Chris, don't do that.
Half hour, he won $1,100.
Good for him.
He was responsible with it, too. You got to give him credit. Like, a lot of people... when they win a lot of money at the casino, they continue to bet.
Yeah. Well, I think I would
have
done
his money
like,
and ran.
Because I think he went with $50. That was his. If he lost it, he was done. Mm-hmm. I probably would have taken like $500, put it in the pocket, and then continued to gamble with some of the other. And
typical Ferreira style, what'd he do? He went and did laundry.
He's a weirdo.
Let's get to Damian in Baltimore. Hey, Damian.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
Great.
So, yeah, man, I'm excited, can't wait, excited.
We can't wait for what?
I guess for next season.
Oh, well, I can wait.
Well, now it's all about repeating.
Right.
You could be the only team, the last team and the next team to repeat.
I would hold off, though, on that for now. Enjoy this one. This was a great Super Bowl.
Up, you know?
There's a lot of things you got to look forward to before the season
24-hour rule. You can only enjoy wins for 24 hours.
Not Super Bowls. Not Super Bowls.
I usually watch the games by myself here in Baltimore, but this year I actually joined one of the Patriots fan clubs that opened up in August here, the Baltimore fans of the Patriots, and we actually made the news on NBC, and we had like almost over 100 people there at Dockside and Canton, and it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible, and I emailed you guys the link for the news coverage, because I actually made the news cheering and had a big coverage, but it was amazing. I cannot believe it. I'm still in awe and shock and awe.
Now, did you cry?
Yes, I did, and I got hugged by this about 375-pound man right next to me, and we hugged and we cried like babies, man. My girlfriend made so much fun of me.
That's awesome.
He said I just melted into his like stomach and chest. It was crazy. It was insane.
That's Paul, great. Do you remember?
That's great. Thanks, Damian.
That's not right.
Kevin liked that. Blendy writes in, Dear Fred, Paul, Andy, and Eric, what a game that was. I must say there are a few reasons that the Patriots won the game. One, Rex Ryan's prediction before the game all over Radio Row saying that I would love a great defense and Tom Brady needing to go down the field for a touchdown to win the game. Two, our team's channeling energy of the haters out there and gate stuff towards shutting up everyone yapping without any real facts. Three, the people on the live chat with Fred Kirsch while watching the game. Four, as Herm said, you play to win the game. And that is exactly what the Patriots did. I don't care what choice of play the Ospreys went with. The butler worked his butt off all year watching film. Five, thanks to my wife, whose unwavering support would have not been possible to survive the last 30 seconds of the game. She became a PFW convert after you guys read my previous email on air, and she loves your show now.
Well, welcome aboard.
Six, all of you guys pumping the fans on the bad days after Patriots loss and all the regulars calling the show. Seven out of eight, Bill Belichick's T-shirt before the game, don't tread on me.
Yep.
Yeah, that forgot to mention that. And eight, I got to 8 points, and I think that is plenty for today. That's Blendy from Long Island, and he says put himself down for a lunch. So,
Kevin, save that email.
We're like going to need a lot of those this offseason.
We like the Blendster. Yes, it's championship offseason. We all need to celebrate in lunch style.
Let's go to Big Al in Valdosta. Hey, Big Al.
Good afternoon, boys, and congratulations.
Thank you.
You too.
Well, we got three choices as far as I can tell. We got Malcolm in the middle, the butler did it, or my personal favorite, the immaculate intervention. Which one do you like?
None of them.
Okay. None of the above. Which one do you like instead?
I actually like some of them. I mean, Malcolm in the middle. Not for a cover, but for a story.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Type thing.
Yeah.
I'm talking for like a long-time slogan, not necessarily the cover of something.
Can I save what I think we should do, or are we saving it?
No, we'll save it.
Okay.
Save it for when the issue comes out.
When the issue comes out later this week, you'll see.
Okay,
and by the way, I don't hate the Sports Illustrated.
In about a month, I'll check it out.
Oh, screw you.
Cracked yourself up there.
Listen, it's incredible. This catch that this kid made, bouncing all over the place, it seems like it scrambled everybody's eggs. And for the rest of that last minute could be the subject of like an hour-long documentary by NFL Films or something.
Yeah, it's a great 30 for 30.
30 for 30. Probably a short. I don't know if they can get a full hour.
Yeah.
What if
it depends what happens.
What if I told you Bill Belichick chose not to call a timeout? And Pete Carroll chose to throw for no reason.
The whole thing started.
And a guy in a tryout from West Alabama ended it all.
Yeah,
I don't know what you guys think of how important you think it is, but I thought it was pretty important. Evidently, for whatever reason, and please feel free to fill in the details if you know the reason. But whatever reason, Pete Carroll, and he mentioned this after the game, he thought that there was going to be a challenge on that catch, either. I guess a Booth challenge or a Patriots challenge or something. They thought that catch was going to be challenged by some method. I don't know what it would be, but they thought. And then because of that, they had like a little scrum huddle over on their bench on the way down the sideline. They didn't hustle down to, line up for the next play. And then they had to burn a timeout because they didn't really get down there in time.
But
and it turned out there wasn't going to be a challenge.
But so what?
And at that point, because they burned that timeout needlessly, if you believe their explanation, and I'm not suggesting that you should, but if you buy their explanation of, we had to throw the ball once because we only had one timeout, then you know what? If that's the case, they only have themselves to blame because they burned their second timeout needlessly, thinking there was going to be a challenge. They're only left with one, and then they got to put it up, and then there comes the kid.
Yeah, I just don't think they had to throw.
Okay.
I think everything you might have said, you said might be true. Maybe they did think there was going to be a challenge, and that led to the timeout. They had a minute left in the game.
Right.
And three plays to run. They could have run the ball three times if they wanted to with a timeout. They let the time run off the clock, I think, correctly. Because they wanted to take as much time as they could to score.
Correct.
Okay.
Belichick, I think, helped them in that regard by not calling timeout.
Right.
And that
put
it in a situation where if they had scored, the Patriots would have had next to no chance to come back and tie it.
Right.
No chance.
Because we're looking at under 20 seconds.
And Bill did say they would have called
timeout. Belichick, because why didn't he call a timeout?
Right. And he said he was going to, as Andy just alluded
After
to.
After that play, he said he could have, would have taken a timeout.
So you call timeout. You call timeout prior to the first down run by Marshawn Lynch. There's a minute six left. You call timeout there needlessly. I agree, a needless timeout.
Right.
But you have a minute and 6 seconds in a timeout to run four plays.
Right.
That's plenty.
Right.
You do not need more than a minute and six to run four plays. And you, by the way, could have run the ball all four times if you so choose. You did not have to throw the ball. Where I really philosophically disagree with Carroll's explanation is he is saying that the Patriots had their goal line personnel on the field. First of all, you were inside the one-yard line. What did you expect the other team to have on the field in terms of personnel? You countered that with three receivers because you wanted to throw the ball, not because you were afraid of the goal line defense. They wanted to throw the football. For whatever reason, that's what they wanted to do. And I think it was a colossal mistake. Just a blunder that you could never get over. Never get past.
Thanks, Al. Let's go to F.E. in Turkey. Hey, F.E.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
I watched the game. I think it was 1:30 a.m. it started here, and that last 30 seconds was past 5 a.m. on a work day, on a Monday. And it was amazing. Congratulations to all of you and everybody else that's listening in Patriot Nation. And I know our fan from Nova Scotia said that, you know, disappointing years or failures for the previous years. I don't believe, even when we lost those two Super Bowls, I mean, it was upsetting, yes. Was it a bad season? No, I mean, there's a lot of teams that don't even, you know, they don't even make the playoffs, and we made a lot of playoffs, and yes, we didn't go all the way, and we didn't win the Super Bowl, and we lost two dramatic Super Bowls, and well, it almost seemed on Sunday that we were going to lose another one, but I don't believe, I don't feel that they were failures the previous season. And I just read something today, coming back to Pete Carroll, read that he actually messaged with a reporter about the decision and what he was saying. I didn't listen to any of, you know, the post-game interviews. I think I must have watched those last, you know, 15 seconds, that last play and the reactions 1,000 times on YouTube just to see Sherman's face and to see Brady jumping up and down and, you know, Will Fork running, you know, that whole mass of body running around in celebration. But what he apparently told his reporter was the reason that he chose to pass it, you know, not the time, not whatever, it's just that, you know, they had the plays, but he didn't want to get stuck running on third down or having being forced to pass on third down. And you know, as I'm a football coach personally here in Turkey, or American football as it's called here, and I can understand that. But for the goal line, I think everybody along with me agrees that it was supposed to be a run. You run it in.
They had the time.
Every time from the 1 yard line.
Yeah. They had the time, and they had the best back in football who had been running through your defense all day.
Everybody seems to be accepting his statement that with 26 seconds left, what they're ignoring is that play didn't have to be run with 26 seconds left if he didn't want it to be.
Right.
He wanted it to be. Now, I think that was the right thing to do. Take your time and run the ball into the end zone, I think was the right course of action.
Right.
But if he was so concerned about not wanting to have to pass because they were going to run out of time, then he should have gotten his team to the line of scrimmage and run the second down play before 40 seconds went off the play clock. Or 30, I think it was like 36
seconds.
Right,
they were almost competing with themselves in strategy.
Well, and the biggest problem I have is he says, you know, you don't call a play thinking there's going to be an interception.
And I understand
that. But guess what? You don't call a run play thinking he's going to be stopped.
Or fumble.
But even beyond the fumble, when you call that run play, you believe that run play will gain the 1 yard you need to get in the end zone. Right? So if you're going to be positive and...
The only explanation...
I don't understand it.
The only explanation I will accept from him is that he felt the best way to score a touchdown was to run the play they ran.
And I disagree with that.
And I disagree with it. But that's the only explanation tactically that I'll accept.
Lynch had shown
I thought I had a better chance of throwing the ball to Lockett than running it in with Lynch. I think he's wrong, but I'll accept that rationale.
And he
don't accept... We didn't want to be forced to pass.
He even uses the touchdown to Matthews late in the first half as the example. It's like that. We went for the touchdown. We were aggressive. Like that's
not the same thing.
No, not at all. And
you can't run it in from the 10 yard line
with 6 seconds left. And I also don't think it's the same thing. Like even that play, I liked better the play call. The slant inside is you're asking for trouble. You know, we were talking about it. A lot of times when that's intercepted, it's intercepted because it's tipped, and then a linebacker or somebody or a safety catches it.
Right.
You know,
which is another reason why I think that Wilson
comes out hot.
Yeah,
which is another reason why I don't think Wilson's taken enough heat for the throw, because it was higher than it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Those throws generally, and you watch Brady throws those, guys slide and catch those.
Yeah.
The only guy that can catch it is the receiver.
Who's the coach that said when you throw the ball,
Bill Walsh.
Three things can happen, two of them are bad?
Right, Bill Walsh.
Right.
And ironically, all he did was throw the ball.
Yeah. And I go the other way and say, when you hand things to Marshawn Lynch, good things can happen.
Joe and KC, when Jermaine Kearse made the new flukiest catch in NFL history, my heart sank like it hit an iceberg. I could already see the headlines in the Monday papers reading Kearse. Then Paul's guy made arguably the greatest play of this dynastic Patriots era, and that was the most emotional trough to peak I've felt in my life. Seattle rightfully feels like they blew the game, but afterwards I noticed how a bizarre string of karma seemed to travel its way through the NFC playoffs. The Cowboys had a PI flag picked up against the Lions. Then the Dez Bryant catch was ruled incomplete against the Packers. The Packers benefited from that incompletion but botched an onside kick that led to an improbable Seattle comeback. Seattle gets another fortuitous play with the Kearse reception, but then balance was restored when an undrafted rookie from the University of West Alabama intercepted a pass at the goal line. My opinion, that was the greatest Super Bowl of all time. What a ride this has been. And P.S., the cherry on top was Warren Sapp getting arrested. What an idiot.
Wait, what?
Oh, you didn't know that?
I didn't hear about that.
That happened yesterday.
Solicited a prostitute.
Soliciting a prostitute.
Fired by
NFL Network. Fired by NFL Network. That's not,
really?
That's not strike one for him.
No. I missed that.
Yeah.
Sounds like they were trying to screw with him, too.
This was in Phoenix?
It sounds like it's one of those situations where the price went up when they got in the room or something, and they kind of created an argument.
This was at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, 7 a.m. after the Super Bowl. He was looking to have a little fun, get his winky wet, and paid for it.
Michelle,
twice.
Who loves it when I call her Shalata, please tell me there's a picture of Fred in the press box when Butler intercepted the ball.
No, but it was a... That's a moment I'll never forget, Fred.
I think you guys might be surprised of the only one who lost his composure on that play.
You?
Me.
Really?
I jumped up out of my seat.
Really?
I did. And I don't normally do that.
Spill a Diet Pepsi in your lap?
I did not get dumped. I didn't have a hurricane dumped on me like I did in New Orleans. Yeah. But I don't know. And Andy would be my – I generally stay pretty composed during the games, and I kind of let my emotions out in different ways, to which Andy usually says, you know, grow up.
Well, I was sitting next
but
to
– I actually jumped out of my seat when he caught that pass.
I was sitting next to a scout who will not be named, and he kept punching me.
I talked to him about that afterwards.
Yeah.
He said I was working over pretty good.
He was. But when we were waiting for the elevator before the game,
sorry,
Fred,
yeah,
to go up to the press box, it was a moment where you just kind of like reached over and gave me like a hug around the shoulder, kind of like, oh man, you're like,
something
moved.
Dusty?
No. But
undrafted rookie free agent cornerback out of LSU.
No. It was, you could sense the moment. There was an anticipation.
Yes,
and
there
then
was.
At the end of the game, when he makes the interception, I think you were stunned. Because normally, like, something bad happens. You're banging the table. You're saying all kinds of things. You didn't really say anything. I kind of had to, like, shake you. And I was like,
right.
Like,
yeah.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
Did you believe what happened?
It happened so fast.
I know.
Yeah. I can't, this is still Charlotta. I can't, won't put into words what this championship means, but one thing is clear. Brady is the best quarterback ever. 10 years between championships alone is enough to settle that argument.
And I also, somebody said it earlier, the guy who called in from Turkey. You know, he lost Super Bowls. That's right. And Montana didn't. I don't fault a guy for going to and losing a Super Bowl. It's like it would have been better had he lost in the playoffs that year so they don't go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So he could be 4-0 instead of 4-2. Wait, so now you're being
downgraded.
I think
it's better to go to a Super Bowl.
But that's not how the Felgers of the world spin it. You lost two Super Bowls.
Well, but consider the source.
No, I know, but I just I would never denigrate somebody from
of course not
achievement.
That's why I mean I like to watch games, but when I make my determination
to me the numbers
like that, as opposed to using the school board as my lone.
If you want to throw numbers out there, the numbers are no interceptions, more touchdowns, better touchdown percent,
perfection,
like that
dominance in the game.
So
they blew the teams out.
Now I think Brady's the best. I think this stamps him as the best ever. I
still get Elway.
It's also impressive to me that. You know, a lot of quarterbacks later, and like Elway, when he won his. He was good in the years that he won his, but the rationale with his victories was, well, when he finally got a running back in Terrell Davis, he was able to win a Super Bowl.
He got a Hall of Fame running back.
You know, he was older. He didn't have to carry the team. Brady carried that team still at his age. That's even more impressive. It's not like he came out and had like a Trent Dilfer-like performance and was just, you know, 9 of 15 for 120 yards. I mean, he was throwing the ball all night long, and he was throwing it well.
Doug
to, to only have 13 incomplete passes when you throw the ball 50 times, that's remarkable.
And he's thrown the ball. He threw the ball 50 times against Baltimore.
Yeah, and,
right?
And our buddy, our buddy Kerry Byrne, and I forget the number, but remember when he tweeted
it was like
out
2-41. Yeah.
The record when quarterbacks throw the ball 50 plus times in the playoffs is ridiculously bad, and Brady is like that's like 6-1 or something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
Now the flip side of that is, you know, he's throwing the ball within 6 yards of the line of scrimmage, about 40 of the 50.
I know.
So did Montana, though. He was in that West Coast offense.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm just saying.
I don't really think. I think Montana and Brady are very, very
similar. No matter what you do, there's a counterpoint. There's a, but yeah. I do think that this has stamped him. And it's not just the postseason. It's the regular season. It's the everything. You know, the closing of the door we kind of talked about on the Brady Manning a couple weeks ago when Manning got knocked out and Brady advances yet again, and the epic sort of performance against the Ravens to do that. And I think he stamped it. He's
you
the best
ever. A lot of people say, well, the rules are easier now, but I don't see any other quarterbacks going to 7 Super Bowls.
Right. I mean, the rules were easier for Manning.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you could throw that in maybe to the Elway and the Montana comparisons, but, you know, Elway lost Super Bowls, right? So, you know, he lost. He epically
lost.
And now I don't fault him because, again, I think that's an achievement to go to a Super Bowl. But I just, almost any argument, I feel like Brady has a response to.
Doug in New Hampshire, they asked Harbaugh and Dungy to do analysis of what the coaches needed to do for the second half. They gave each one a side, Dungy, Seattle, and Harbaugh, New England. But when they came back, they only talked about Seattle. Harbaugh just hates the Patriots. I think he knows that if he coached his team better, they could have been in the Super Bowl. The Ravens can't lose enough for me. Please let them have the home opener for us next season so they can stew during another banner ceremony.
Baltimore comes to New England?
Oh, he seems, I don't know. I don't think they are, actually.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. I don't think we even play.
We don't play them.
Pittsburgh was the first place team in that division.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pittsburgh could be the team.
Yep. Matt from Oregon, so pumped, so Jack, let's all make sure we don't take this for granted, people. I still get goosebumps when I see Vinatieri's kick from 01, and I'll be getting goosebumps from this one 15 years from now. So much has to go right to get to this point. Let's enjoy the hell out of it. And now another important point, how do we parlay this into a raise for you boys?
Yeah, Fred,
that's a great
question.
That's a fantastic question. A
lot of money going to be coming into this organization in the next few months and years.
It's already starting. I was in the pro shop earlier today. The place was a beehive.
How about online? The poor guy yesterday morning couldn't order Super Bowl stuff. It's already sold out.
I'm surprised it's sold out.
Why are you surprised? There are a lot of Patriots fans.
Usually they order so much.
Well, maybe they did. Yeah. Maybe the demand is just that high.
I guess.
This might be the last one. People, you know, never know. This is collectible season.
Christina is in New Hampshire on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Christina.
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Great.
What's up, girl?
Oh, I'm doing great. Hey, I so badly wanted to have you guys streaming live for the Super Bowl, but it wasn't working out for me, and I just couldn't stand Chris Collinsworth. I pretty much had to mute the whole game because I just wanted to go in there and bitch slap the guy.
Well, you know, I like Chris Collinsworth, and I think he made a lot of cogent points, and at one point he was kind of gushing about Seattle, but at that point they were up 10. And I said in the blog, if the Patriots are up 10, he'd probably be gushing about the Patriots at that point.
And both are worthy. It was the two best teams in football. They're
and
both good at a lot.
Played very well.
Right. They're both good at a lot of different things. So gushing for the team that was leading at whatever time is what you should be doing.
Yeah.
They did. So, they called a pretty good game.
The point with Chris Collinsworth was the fact that we were going down the field, we were making the plays, and he was still bashing us. He was still talking, you know, all for, you know, Seattle, and it's been like that the whole year. I haven't liked listening to Chris Collinsworth all year.
Okay. Wow.
He hates us like the rest.
Complained, but the guy is anti-Patriots. But a lot of newscasters are anti-Patriots.
Well, most of them are. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Why do you feed into this?
It's true.
It's true.
We don't give them the interviews they want, so they hate us, you know?
I was
they ain't us.
I was mildly disappointed, Fred, that in the those little headsets that they gave us, that in the past I thought that you always got each team's flagship broadcast.
Right.
So that you and the TV, as well as the TV version, so that you could hear, if you wanted to hear Bob Soucy, you could have heard Bob Soucy for the whole game.
Right.
Or if you were a Seahawks fan and wanted
to
hear
that.
Yeah,
they used to do that.
I was disappointed a little bit because I wanted to hear Bob call the game.
I mean, I was listening to Univision.
In Espanol?
<Yeah. laughs> I don't know him, but I would have listened to anyone over Chris Collinsworth. The other thing, I've been a Pats fan all my life. All my life. I grew up 6 miles from the stadium when it was Schaefer. Then it went to Sullivan, Foxborough, now Gillette. For every send-off, I was there. And I've been there for, like, 6 of their homecomings. And I was there last night. And I braved that cold for 3 hours.
Good for you.
I drove from Bow, New Hampshire to drive down there in that storm last night.
Wow.
And but it was all going to be good. It was all going to be good. I went to the pro shop, got some nice shirts, you know, some memorabilia. I got, you know, like in years past that we've been there, we've got things for the players to sign for us. Like we have Dion Branch's signature. I've got Izzo's signature, Matt Lights, Charlie Weiss. We have signatures, Romeo Cornell. We have some great memorabilia from going there after they've come home from the Super Bowl. Last night, 3 hours, sub-below zero temperatures, Chandler Jones and Bill Belichick. That was it.
That was
Does
it.
Does anyone know why none of the players came out?
Well, a lot of them were on
the... It would have taken 10 minutes.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
Some of them were on the plane with us.
Chris Collinsworth told him not to come out.
Yeah,
yeah. There was the unfortunate thing
is, what are you doing on this plane?
they get divvied up after the Super Bowl. I mean, you think about it. Butler and Edelman were at Disney. Gronk went to the L.A. or whatever for Kimmel.
There were a lot of players on our flight.
A lot of players choose to go home with their families, which puts them on a different flight. There were a bunch of them on our flight today. So I think it wasn't like all 63 players were on that plane. It was probably closer to half, maybe. I don't know exactly why Moore didn't come out, but I saw Bill's walk down the crowd. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually, you know, high-fived me, and that was awesome. But, like, in years past, Kraft has come out with the trophy. But
that is too bad. But, you know, that's cool of you to come down. That's great.
Yes, that's very...
Oh, it's great to see them.
Carol Hardy,
I mean, it was emotional. I started crying. I mean, it's been... as emotional of a win for me as it was in 2001.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. And that's what Robert
I mean, said. I don't know about
for different
you guys.
Reasons.
I don't know why.
Then we were the, you know, reasons. We were the coming out of nowhere. This year, we're fighting back against the haters.
And that's what Robert said when he accepted the trophy, that he never thought
Thanks, Christina.
Would be as special as that one, and this one is up there.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's the difference in that the old us against the world mentality, some of it was concocted. I think this started at the top with ownership. The way the last couple of weeks have been handled, this was truly under attack, us against the world.
And I was listening after the game. I was on the field, and he did a lengthy interview with Sal Pal from ESPN behind the stage. And he said, you know, he was talking about doing that speech. He goes, you know, I just felt I needed to do that speech for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what they needed at that point. And I think he's right. That was not for anyone but the fans. You know, that we are defiant. We're not going to take this. And you know they were waiting for what the owner had to say, and I
and he said it.
Yeah, it was I think it was one of the big rallying moments in Patriots history.
Mm-hmm. And know? I think it was surprising coming from him, and the timing of the delivery right off the plane to set the tone for the week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the way he did it, I thought he hit a home run.
I do too. And you could see Bill come
strong
up,
and powerful
up to the
man.
Stage afterwards, like
feeling good, feeling
confident.
Right.
Glad he did that.
Yeah,
you know. Dan and Harriet's on the line. Hey, Dan.
Guys, you know what Malcolm Butler is?
What is he?
Awesome.
That's some good value.
That is a value player right there. Well, I know a lot of people were joking that the three arguably most important players in the victory were the sixth-round pick, Tom Brady, the seventh-round pick, Julian Edelman, and the undrafted guy. That's why we don't need any of those first- and second-round guys. We have all the late rounds.
Yeah.
I swear, though, if that guy ever pays for a drink in this state ever again, I will circulate a petition for that establishment to be shut down immediately.
Well, doesn't it feel like Paula's gotten mad at me, but he's legitimately like a 50-50 chance to make the roster next year. Right. You know, if they re-sign Revis and add like one veteran corner somehow.
The only thing I don't know about that, Andy, is how much they're laying it on post-game. Like all the defensive players especially, but even Brady.
No, I
if
know.
They're,
but,
if, yeah, I mean, if they're even remotely being honest, then he's a young player that they like a lot.
No, and I know that, but I just think if you have Browner, Revis, Arrington, and say for some reason some veteran free agent wants to be here and he signs for the minimum who's good, a legitimate player, well, now all of a sudden you're fighting for like one last roster spot.
Yeah, but I think he might win it over a Ryan or an Arrington.
I think it's 50-50 because I think he's a great story.
History.
The player is not as good as the story.
History changed. Legacy and history has changed on the hands of Malcolm Butler.
Yes.
Right there.
Which is why if I were him, I would have Malcolm Butler's, like, auto centers. Like, yeah. Something with his name in, you know, Super Bowl champion, Malcolm Butler's.
Malcolm Butler's maid service.
This was Dyson getting tackled at the one, like, a thousandfold. The 99 Rams game, yep. In Tennessee getting tackled at the one. And I mentioned the history thing, but still, like, he obviously made the play, but I'm thinking back and it's just, what a ludicrous call. I mean, it's like a part of me is always going to be trapped in time watching that moment, expecting Marshawn Lynch to get the handoff. My friend who is just getting into football now, like just barely understanding, you know, how it works, is like, I would have run it with Lynch there.
It's amazing.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And it's an example of the difference in coaching, I think, because it took Carroll weight. He never adjusted on defense when he needed to, and it was when it was time to do what you do, he did something else. And before you guys let me go, I just want to say that I absolutely cannot wait for the America's game, because I think this ride has had more fascinating storylines than any of the other rides to the Super Bowl, in my opinion. I don't think it's really close, and you guys were there for all of it, and just congratulations to everybody, and I'm just so excited.
Thanks, Dan. I'm excited for you, Dan, too.
Breaking news off of Twitter.
What do you got on the Twitter
machine? My pal from the post-game party, Triple H, just tweeted out that the WWE title is on its way to Gillette Stadium for the Patriots parade. And he included Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman, so I don't know if one of those guys will have it. But the WWE title belt will be part of the Duck Boat Parade.
Gets publicity off of us.
What?
It's because it's fixed, Goof.
I was hanging out with him the other night, Fred.
Good for you.
He was cool.
Did you see Stephanie too? Was she there?
Yeah, she was there.
With him. They had a little security guard with him, and they were just getting...
They were fine though. They were taking pictures with people, talking to people. They were cool.
Chris Ferreira was all jacked up, and he took a photo from afar. And I'm like, just go up. Other people are taking photos. Your son will lose his crap if you take a photo with Triple H,
and he
wouldn't do it. He was like, no, he's just a guy. He's trying to enjoy the night. He's just a guy.
All right, let's take a couple more calls.
I draw the line
of the show
with adults.
Doc's in Chicago. Hey, Doc.
Hey, you guys probably won't remember me. I met you in Seattle. So a couple of quick things. Has Al called in to tell us what the big mistake Seattle made? They didn't have Tebow.
He did call in, but no.
I only get to really listen to your podcast now, so I hope Eldridge calls, because I've been waiting for years. I love Eldridge. I think he's one of your best callers. He's like Eric. He says it like it is. But I want to see how he can make a downer on this. No, we still don't have receivers.
Yeah.
And
Fred was asking for a deep threat.
Yeah, well, we don't have a deep threat. It's still open. It's the worst thing that could happen to us. I will say this. Having lived in Seattle and went to the game in Seattle, I never met a more miserable set of fans than Seahawks fans. Mariner fans were fine, but Seahawks fans, the only ones who were nice with Lofa Tutufu family, because the person who was with me had their shirt. These guys are swearing at us and screaming, so I am so happy they lost for this and so happy they won. I won't keep you because I'm sure you guys have a lot of stuff to talk about, but I do wonder with all this Deflategate if Kraft is going to go Al Davis on Goodell. If a couple of people said that, well, he's going to find the Patriots anyways just to find them because technically the ball was whatever. I don't think the way Kraft spoke, as you guys were just talking about, he is going to stand for anything from Goodell. But that's my opinion.
I agree. Thanks, Doc.
Now, I'm not sure there's much he can do about
it. Yeah, I mean, there might be a slight fine for ignorance. But, you know, now there's conflicting reports about how many balls were deflated and by how much. So I think what's going to happen is they're going to change the protocol.
Yes.
And that will be the sign that both sides screwed up.
Correct. Procedures in place will be altered.
One more,
just one quick thing. I didn't know this.
We have to do TV too.
You have to get 24 votes to remove the commissioner. 24 owners would have to vote to remove him, and I don't see that happening.
Okay. Let's one more call. Paul's in California. Hey, Paul.
To get rid of him.
Yes. Oh, hello. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Yes, I go way back to 1960 as a 13-year-old jump in the field over the climb of the fence at Nickerson Field. And that was when there were probably more Giants fans than Patriots fans in Boston. And this has got to be the most satisfying win I can imagine. It's like a culmination. I've lived among Patriots haters most of my life between military and the job. And this has been the worst 2 weeks as far as ignorance and people jumping to conclusions. In a game that had momentum swings that were beyond belief, it ended in the biggest momentum swing I had ever seen in my life, from the depths of despair with that fluke catch by Curse to that interception by Butler. This is just absolutely beyond belief. I think it hasn't even sunk in totally yet, but I'm going to enjoy it. I don't expect that we're going to change anybody's mind because people don't even understand what the cheating is, but by God, they're cheaters as far as they're concerned, and I am just enjoying the heck out of it.
Absolutely. All right, Paul, thanks. You're going to close it off for this edition. We had so many emails and calls we didn't get to, but we're back tomorrow.
Hell yeah.
12 to 2 and Thursday, 12 to 2. So we got a lot more to talk about, things that happened down there. It's still about the game, the post-game celebration.
Andy and Freddie are going to fight about halftime.
Yeah.
The parade.
Yep. So tomorrow's a great day. The parade starts at 11. It'll be live on Patriots.com, and then we're going to come on at noon. We'll talk to you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
Little late for